Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I like that. I got some smiles, and that was a great good morning. Maybe you could do better, but we'll settle for that. Maybe next week you'll get a little bit better, and so on. Y'all are too much fun. So, did you know that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the recordings of the life of Jesus, not one time did he say, "I am God." Just like that. Not one time did he say it like that. Now, because of this, many have attempted to open the Bible and say, because Jesus didn't outright say, "I am God," in a manner that's so obvious, well, he probably wasn't God. And actually, you know, we find statements like that later on in the other writings in the New Testament. Very explicit statements that say Jesus is God. And Jesus was God when he was here on this earth. And people say, well, because Jesus never said it, the man Jesus came and he lived, and he never wanted to be set up a new religion. He never, this new way, he never wanted to be worshipped. It was these people that came along that decided afterwards, we're going to turn this into a religion and we're going to elevate him to the status of God. Now, I know that we don't believe that. But this morning, we're going to take a look at the verses that they attempt to use to say that not only did Jesus never say, "I am God," which we agree, he never said it just like that, but in fact, they say that he said some things that should lead us to believe that he wasn't God. Now, we look at this because I think sometimes, as we talked about first principles this morning, sometimes we get so far along in our studies that someone brings up a question or a quibble that's so simple, we're not sure how to answer it. We don't know how to deal with it because maybe we've never thought about it before. I dare say there are probably Christians that are unaware that Jesus never said, "I am God." And based on that, they may say, well, then I don't know how to prove from what Jesus said that Jesus is God. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Those that would like to say that he wasn't, they like to go to John 14 and verse 28. And there, at the end of the verse, Jesus says, "My Father is greater than I." And they say, you see, Jesus said, referring to God the Father, "My Father is greater than I." He couldn't have been God if God the Father was greater than him, because if he was God, he would have to be equal, wouldn't he? Well, how are we defining the word greater? That's really what this all comes down to. Don't let this trip us up here and think, well, Jesus did say that, and so that means God the Father is greater, so Jesus couldn't be God if the Father is greater than him. But how are we defining greater? For example, I am certain, at 100% certainty, that where Megan works, she is a much greater worker at that place of employment than I would be this day if you threw me there. Now, does that mean that she's better than me as a person? Does that mean that she is somehow higher than me as a person? No. And in no way does it negate my authority in our home. So you could say, when she's at work, she's greater than me. And when we're at home, I'm greater than her. Some people say, what? But see, what do we mean by that? We mean, I couldn't do her job to the way she does it. I'm not trained. I haven't worked there for the years that she has. And as far as the authority in the home goes, she doesn't have the jurisdiction to have that authority. But am I lower than her on the line of humanity? No. Am I higher than? No. We're equal. You see, I can be greater than someone else at something or in some manner and still be equal with them. And so when someone tries to go to John 14, 28, well, Jesus said that the Father is greater than him. How are we defining greater? And so that statement does not then necessitate that Jesus could never have been God. We know that in the order of the Godhood, yes, they are all equal as far as their attributes, as far as holding the being, the Godhood of being God, but there are different roles of authority, so to speak. The Father is the architect. The Father, the ultimate will comes from the Father. So in that sense, the Father is greater. Also the fact that we believe that Jesus, when he was here on this earth, was 100% man. He had to follow the authority of the Lord. That meant in that sense, in the time frame that Jesus was here on the earth, the Father was greater than him. Why? Because Jesus had emptied himself of all of the pleasantries and the things he had in the Godhood. And he was just a man. So when someone goes to John 14:28 to try to say, well, Jesus wasn't God, it won't get him very far if we understand what Jesus meant by the word greater. But see, Jesus also said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. I say, well, if Jesus was God, then surely, God doesn't need anyone else to be able to do things, does he? God doesn't need my authority. He doesn't need someone else to help him. And yet Jesus says, of my own self, I can do nothing. I said, well, surely that proves that Jesus was not God. Let's back up a little bit in John chapter 5. Let's go to verse 19. And let's begin here and see what Jesus is saying. What is the context here? It says, verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, I realize that was a lengthy reading there. But here's the point. Jesus is talking about the judgment that he has been given by the Father. And he says, I judge. By whose will does he judge? By the Father's will. Jesus says, when I make a judgment, it's by the will of the Father. And then he starts talking about what we talked about this morning, the end of time, eternal judgment. And he says, I'm the one that's going to be doing the judging. And if I'm doing the judging, I'm going to be doing it by the judgment of the Father. Now, when we understand the Father, we can say the Father is greater than the Son, and yet they're both God, because God is the architect. God is where the supreme will comes from. When Jesus says, when I make a judgment, I make that judgment by the Father, there's no problem. That does not necessitate that he could not be God. It doesn't mean that his Godhood is somehow stripped of him. As a matter of fact, given what he's saying here, that he's going to be the one doing the judging, I would say it only enforces the Godhood of Jesus. Amen. Because no man has ever been given such a state The Lord has never elevated, nor would He, a man who was not somehow God as Jesus was, to such a level of authority and to such a place to do these things. Only God has this authority and will do these things. So I can of my own self do nothing. I can of my own self do nothing because it's by the ultimate will of the Father, whose will I share and whose authority has allowed me to judge. It's really not that difficult when we look at it to see. We go back. The Father is greater than I. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't God. I can of my own self do nothing. Doesn't mean that Jesus is not God.
Amen.
But how about then John chapter 10 verse 29? Very similar to the first statement we looked at, but John chapter 10 and verse 29, Jesus says that the Father is greater than all. Well, He's greater than all, so He has to be greater than the Son. I realize this is somewhat similar, and we could answer the word greatness with the way we looked at it before there in John chapter 14. There are two very strong statements within this context, beginning at verse 25, that you just can't deny that only God holds the authority and the ability to do some of the things Jesus talks about. Here in John 10, verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Amen.
Jesus says, I came and you've seen the things that I can do, and you don't believe me. My sheep, they believe me, they hear me, and I know them, and they follow me. They do the things that I have asked them to do, and I know them because of that. Okay, fair enough. Someone says, well, that could be a great prophet. You don't have to be God for that to be the case. You know, if you listen to the words of a prophet, back if we lived in the days when the prophets lived, you listen to their voice and you follow the words that they have, and you're okay with God. Yes, but how about the statement where He says, and I give unto them eternal life? No man has ever had the authority to give another man eternal life. Only because of the judgment that Jesus has there in John chapter 5. Can He give eternal life when you hear His voice, when you follow Him? He knows you. So someone said, well, Jesus never said, I am God. Okay, would someone who is not God be allowed to give eternal life? I don't think so.
No. Amen.
And then not only that, if we keep going down, past verse 30, it says, then the Jews took stones again to stone Him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? He says, everything I've done is just. Everything I've done is the right way. What have I done? What crime have I committed? It says, the Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. So this is, we're not stoning you because you did anything good, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. They recognized that when Jesus said, I give eternal life to whom I will, and you can't take him away from me if I give him eternal life, they realized he was elevating himself to the status of God. And for this very reason, they wanted to get rid of him. His enemies recognized what he was saying. You would kind of think here that, you know, if Jesus wasn't elevating himself to the status of God, those who were his enemies, they wouldn't care in this sense. Because one of the reasons they were his enemies was because he did come along and he fulfilled the law and he spoke the truth and he was God.
Amen.
And they didn't want him to be God, because it was against all of the things that they were doing and that they were attempting to accomplish. So my Father is greater than I. That doesn't mean that Jesus isn't God. I can of my own self do nothing. That does not mean that Jesus is not God.
Amen.
And my Father is greater than all. That doesn't mean that Jesus is not God. But another verse that they like to bring up is Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, where it says, Jesus, a man, approved of God. They say, you see? It says, a man approved of God. The Bible even says, Jesus was just a man. Well, first of all, I don't argue with that. Jesus was a man. He was tempted like we are. He went through the same things that we do. He was a man. He was a human with all of the frailties that we have, just like you and I. We don't deny that. But it says Jesus, a man, approved of God. Ah, but what does the rest of Acts chapter 2 say? Again, as we're seeing here, when people use these verses, they are either redefining a word to meet their terms so they can have it say what they want, mm-hmm. or they're totally ignoring all the verses around it, mm-hmm. and you just can't do that if you're going to be honest.
Amen.
Let's skip over to verse 29. We'll begin there and see what Acts chapter 2 has to say about Jesus. It says, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Peter is saying that Jesus was raised up to sit on some kind of throne. Now, what throne is this? He says, He seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, that is the Hadean realm, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Peter says, these are not uncertain terms, he says, He is Lord and Christ. He is King and Messiah. He is your Savior, and He is your King. And he said, what? He was raised, so Jesus went back up into heaven. He was raised to sit on His throne. But where did he say the throne was? On the right hand of God.
Amen.
And then he says, David even says, The Lord said unto my Lord. Oh yeah, absolutely. Jesus was a man approved of God. We don't deny that. That's what the Bible says. But that doesn't mean that he was not God and is not God. A man approved of God. Why was he a man approved of God? Because when he was here as a man, he did everything that God told him to do, everything that God asked him to do, which included dying for our sins, being resurrected, going back up into heaven, so then he could sit at the right hand of God.
Amen.
So, my Father is greater than I. Nope. Well, yes, but Jesus is still God. I can of my own self do nothing. Absolutely, we agree with that. But Jesus is still God. My Father is greater than all. True statement. But Jesus is still God. Jesus, a man approved of God. Absolutely the truth. But Jesus is still God. And the interesting contrast here is that Jesus is no longer a man. He took back all those things that he had released from himself when he went back up into heaven. That was kind of part of the deal with how it worked. Now, to me, these are probably the best quibbles people can bring up, at least from what I've seen. But to me, the strongest affirmation Jesus made of his godhood. Now, obviously, we know it's not him saying, "I am God." People say, "Well, that would have been so easy. I mean, it would have been so obvious, right?" Well, what he did say that affirmed his deity beyond the shadow of a doubt is obvious if we understand the implications. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 52. John chapter 8, verse 52, it says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He says, before Abraham was, past tense. I am, present tense. Now, grammatically, that makes absolutely no sense. Grammatically, you don't understand the implication. You don't understand where Jesus is getting this from. You say, well, Jesus wasn't a very good English student because that's not how you talk. It doesn't make any sense. Before he was, I am. What in the world is Jesus saying here? Well, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Because Jesus is mirroring a statement that God gave to Moses. As God is telling Moses, you're going to go and you're going to deliver my people from Egypt. Exodus chapter 3, and verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." I am. This is a statement that is only applied to God. He is the I am. Why is he the I am? Why is this one of the strongest statements of deity that Jesus ever brought forth? Because if he was affirming, one, that he existed before Abraham did.
Amen.
He says, I'm not merely a man. That's the implication of the statement, before he was, I am. Before Abraham ever existed, I existed.
Yes.
But then he said, I am. You see, we, as humans that are bound by time, we look at things as they were, they are, and they will be. But from God's perspective, everything is. Everything is in the current state. God is the I am. And I know this part is somewhat hard to wrap our minds around, because in order to fully get it, we almost have to be able to see from outside of time, which we just can't do, because each one of us had a beginning and each one of us will have a physical end.
Amen.
But you see, the way I look at it, to get a better understanding of why God would say, I am, and why Jesus would say, before he was, I am, think of it like this. time is a line down here, and God is up here looking down at time. But you see, at the very moment that Abraham was first leaving Ur of the Chaldees, mm-hmm. Genesis 12, from God's perspective, that was happening at the very same time that David was king, at the very same time that Jesus was crucified, at the very same time that we are here now today.
Amen.
God exists at all points in time because He has no beginning, He has no end. God is, at this very moment, in existence in time that doesn't exist for us yet.
Amen.
For example, He knows, not only because He knows the future, quote-unquote, where each one of us will be come Judgment Day, mm-hmm. but He knows if we'll die faithful or not because He's already there.
Amen.
Now, like I said, this, if you've never really thought about this, this can get really confusing, and we have to be careful because we can only understand it so far. But that's why God says, I am. And that's why Jesus says, before He was, I am. God always has been the same God He always will be. No beginning, no end.
Amen.
Constant, immutable, unchanging. So see, people miss it. When Jesus says, I am, He is saying, I am God.
Amen.
Someone says, why didn't He just say, I am God? He did. If you understand what God said to Moses in Exodus 3, He did say that.
He did.
He just didn't say it in our terms. You know whose terms He said it in? The terms of the Jews.
Amen.
The people who He was talking to. It only makes sense that He would do that. Because they knew that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And they applied it to God alone. So much so, that back there in John, in verse 59, it says, then took they up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they want to stone Him? The only thing He said there that would have given them grounds to stone Him is if they believed He was blaspheming, the same way they thought He was before, when they said, this man thinks He's God. That was why they took up to stone Him. They understood what He was saying.
Oh, yes.
And you know, fortunately, people today say, well, Jesus never said, I am God. He did. He just didn't maybe say it in the terms that we're looking for.
That's true.
See, I think of maybe the atheist that says, there's not enough proof that God exists. What I need is for God to strike that tree over there, that specific tree, with lightning on this specific day, at this specific hour, in this specific minute, in this specific second. And if He does that, I'll believe in Him.
You wouldn't believe.
But here's the thing. While that may be true, or may not, that they would believe if that happened, they're defining the terms
mm-hmm.
of belief.
That's it.
They are saying what is sufficient for them to believe. To me, this is a parallel here because people are saying, I will not believe that Jesus was God and is God until I see in the Bible where He said, I am God. They are defining the terms of what will make it mm-hmm. sufficient. Now, sometimes that's okay and that makes sense, but when there's already something that's sufficient that's there, we can't just redefine the terms and say, well, that makes sense, but that's not enough. But unfortunately, people do it all the time with God. Well, that makes sense, but I need more evidence. I need it to be like this. I won't believe in God until He tells me Himself that He exists. Well, God's already spoken. He's already done it His way and it's sufficient. But yet people have to redefine that by their own terms. I think sometimes there's a lot of honesty involved because they don't understand what makes sufficient evidence. But a lot of times there's a lot of dishonesty involved because they know they can so qualify it that they'll never have to obey God. And if someone says, I need Jesus to say, I am God in the Bible before I believe it. Well, it's not there like that, so you're never going to believe it. And I've even seen where someone has taken folks to John chapter 8, where he says, I am. And they say, well, he's not saying I'm God. They go back to Exodus 3 and they say, let me show it. God's, only God says this. And then they wanted to kill him. And they say, well, he wasn't saying that. Well, they're ignoring it at that point.
Amen.
And it's unfortunate. But did Jesus say that he was God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there are other places where he implied it. But for me, John chapter 8 is the strongest statement I can think of that Jesus made to say that he was God. And even John, who wrote John, said such at the beginning of John. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now we go further in John chapter 1, we find out that John refers to Jesus as the Word. So we're talking about Jesus here. But verse 3, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He says, everything that was made by Him. Well, that excludes Jesus as ever being made. Now, as a man, He was formed, but He's talking about Him as God. Jesus is God. He was God before He was Jesus, when He was referred to as the Word. Before He was the Son, He was God. He was I Am. When He was here, He was I Am. And today, He is the I Am. So much so that in John chapter 20, around about verses 28-29, when after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, came back to life, He's in front of several of the apostles, but yet one of the apostles wasn't present. And He tells the other fellows, He says, I will not believe until I see the wounds that the cross gave Him. Well, Jesus appears before him and He says, all right, here they are. And Thomas says to Him, my Lord and my God.
Amen. That's what he said.
Now, I can't think of a better time for Jesus to have said, whoa, 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 I am not your God. Nope. Jesus accepted Thomas's affirmation of Him being God. It doesn't matter what people will try to do with the Scriptures to twist it, the Scriptures still say what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is God.
He is.
As Peter said in chapter 2 of Acts, He is both Lord and Christ. And as Jesus said, if you hear my voice and you follow me, what will Jesus do as God? Give you eternal life. Give everyone eternal life who listens to him and who follows him. And then what? When we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, no one can snatch us out of his hand.
Amen.
We can leave, but no one can take us out. Why? Because Jesus is God. And he came to this earth and he died for us because he loves us. And as a Christian, we have to understand that Jesus is God. That's first principle stuff right there. But we also need to understand how to defend that he is our Lord and our Christ.
Amen.
First principle stuff. Very important. Very important. Sometimes we get tripped up on it. Nothing wrong with that, but we can figure it out. Because we know the truth, and if we hear His voice and we follow Him, He'll give us that eternal life. And the only reason He can do that is because He is God. And how awesome a thought is that? Our Lord came and died for our sins so that we could follow Him. If you haven't begun to follow the Lord, He can't give you eternal life.
Amen.
We hope today that if you haven't, that you'll see it in your heart to do so. But if you have, and you have begun to crucify the Son of God afresh, as we saw in Hebrews, it's impossible for you to be renewed unless you repent of doing those things.
Amen.
Then Jesus can again give you eternal life. But He can't give you eternal life if you don't want it and you're not following His will and His way.
Amen.
God loves us, and God came and died for us. And God is rooting for every one of us this day. And we can have eternal life because Jesus is God, because He is the I Am. So as we sing this song, if there's anything we can do one for another, we love you so much. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing if we can do anything for you.